Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Screen Heroes. I am here with my other regular host, Derek.
Hello.
And of course, Ryan.
Hello.
How you doing, boys?
Doing okay. Doing good.
Not too bad.
You look super fancy.
Do I?
Well, I like your jacket. Like,
Thank you.
It is very nice.
I didn't even want to take it off.
I don't want you to either.
Spirit Halloween.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Not bad.
Get a size smaller than what you think you need because they tend to run large.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Luckily, they had all the sizes in stock, so I made sure to try every single one on.
Nice.
Spread my Ghostbuster love all over it.
I want one. Can I go get one?
I actually haven't seen any women wearing it, but it would probably be pretty cool.
Yeah. I'll do it. I'll be the one woman in the Spirit Halloween.
Just be careful because the Ghostbusters groups have been very aggressive towards Spirit Halloween people lately. So,
oh my god. Well, I could just do an entire like photo shoot with me just wearing the jacket and get them from both sides. Like Spirit Halloween and the fact that I'm like
they would probably
a
have
woman.
Very mixed feelings about
exactly.
That.
Like
they wouldn't know what to be mad at you about.
I love when the internet is mad at me for multiple reasons. It's so great.
Right?
All right. Do you guys want to talk news or something? Or do you just want to sit here and talk about Ghostbusters?
I mean, I'm really good with either one, to be honest.
The diversity of the fandom.
Derek, any input?
I think we should probably cover news.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
so
I guess we can do that.
This week's box office, Venom was number one again. Star is Born was number two. And First Man, which came out this week, took number three.
To a lot of controversy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Bad Times at the El Royale was number five. And I think Smallfoot was number four. So, like, the two films that debuted this weekend did not do as well as the, you know, three films that debuted a few weeks ago.
Yeah, not a strong box office at all across the board this time. But Bad Night at the El Royale made next to nothing, which is really kind of sad.
But it's getting really great reviews, though. So,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
you want to talk about the First Man controversy?
Well, I mean, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I think it should be mentioned that apparently because they didn't show the planting of the American flag in the movie, this is how I understand it anyway, that there's a lot of people upset that they decided to not show that or have that in the movie, even though there's American flag patches on all the you know, spacesuits and everything else.
Well, I think there's a particular group of people right now that are just looking for things to...
What group, you think?
You know, a particular group.
Right, but I mean, I feel like you could be more specific.
I feel like if you're out there listening and this didn't make you mad, you know who I'm talking about. And if it did make you mad, you know who I'm talking about. So, and if you're in a third group somehow, I'm very sorry. And we can talk privately sometime and I can tell
DM
you what's going
him.
On.
Send us all kinds of messages
on
at Hero Podcast. Heroes
Earth
Podcast.
3 here.
That way all three of us can see it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's the big controversy with that. And I have seen some pretty aggressive Facebook posting about it. So not from my friends specifically,
but
just on...
the friends of the friends, the tangentials. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's good stuff.
All right, so...
I think it probably didn't do that well, mainly because a lot of people didn't know about it. The marketing
it's because they didn't show an American flag.
The marketing campaign was pretty low for this one. It's more of an Oscar-baity type of film. It came right after a pretty big weekend with Venom and A Star Is Born, so...
Gosling's hitting the Oscar track hard. Like, he is not doing any fluff pieces, and it's because he wants that Oscar, like... And I feel bad because his co-stars keep getting nominated, but not him.
Well, you know.
While we're talking about the Oscars, this isn't on our news list, but I don't know if you guys saw the graphic that was released for how Marvel is pushing their movies at the Oscars. They're only pushing for one category for Infinity War, but they're pushing for like 13 categories for Black Panther. So that's interesting.
That's hugely interesting.
I think something about special effects for Infinity War and basically everything else for Black Panther.
Right.
Yeah. That's incredible.
There was actually a graphic. I meant to share it with you guys, but it was definitely... It was like a for your consideration thing that Marvel was sending out to the Academy. And
well, I mean, I can appreciate them wanting to focus more on one film rather than try and hit everybody with everything, right? Because then you're competing with yourself a little bit, and people are not going to take you as seriously if you're just like, all our movies are amazing, right?
I think they're just trying to tug the heartstrings a little bit with the Black Panther because, I mean, I feel like Infinity War was more of a technical achievement, personally, and that there was a lot of, you know, there's probably more than one category they could have gone for with that. Whereas Black Panther, I feel like, had some cultural significance for sure, but I don't know that it necessarily deserves...
Well, it shouldn't win for special effects because that was like one thing that we talked about being just completely unforgivable.
I don't think they pushed for any special effects categories for Black Panther.
No, I'm not even sure, honestly, that Infinity War deserves it either. I'm off the top of my head, I don't know which movie I would want to win that award at this point because I haven't been overly impressed with special effects in 2018. But sound editing is a big one for that type of flick that I think Infinity War probably could do really well.
I mean, having to mix all the different characters' themes and all that stuff, that's no small feat.
Especially without there being a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
You know, which also tends to be very heavy in the sound editing category.
Solo came out this year.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Barely a Star Wars movie.
Sorry. That's... I liked Solo, too.
Yeah, so. We all really liked it.
Sorry.
That was hilarious. Bad.
But I mean, that one wasn't like, it's not a typical Star Wars movie. Right. It's one of their offshoots like Rogue One, so... You know,
but I think even Rogue One was nominated for sound editing. Now that I think about it, you know. But anyway,
I thought that was interesting.
It is, yeah, it is. I'll be very curious to see how that stuff shakes out. I know Marvel is not a fan of the popular movie category that the Academy pushed off till next year because it wouldn't be fair to introduce it mid-year.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the reason. It's not because everybody thought balls. It was freaking stupid.
No, everybody hates it.
But you know, what are you gonna do anyway?
It's just
what other news we got?
Cancellation of Iron Fist.
Ish.
Netflix, I'm throwing a how dare you.
I'm throwing a giant asterisk on that.
It's and there's semantics. A lot of other people doing that too.
Yeah.
On Reddit, there's big threads about what is really happening and all this other stuff, theories.
They've already confirmed that the Danny Rand character will show up again.
They let Finn Jones confirm that first, and I felt really happy for him that he got to tweet.
Here's what makes
me
angry about that, though. Finn Jones was nowhere near the best part of season 2.
Or season 1.
I want Ward comes back. I want Ward will be back in the MCU because he was by far the most interesting character in season 2.
He was so good.
I think we're going to see a lot of follow-ups to where that season left us. Okay, I think they're going to follow where Ward and Danny went. They're going to follow what's going on with Colleen. It just won't be called Iron Fist. Okay, these characters will return in some other form. Maybe they'll call it Daughters of the Dragon, or maybe we'll get Heroes for Hire. But there will be some incarnation where these characters show up and get stories. You know, the cinematic universe is wrong for a TV.
But it's part of the cinematic universe,
yeah.
Technically.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, right? So that those connected universes, when you're as connected as the Netflix Marvel shows are, which is more so than anything else on TV right now, the individual series become less important.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Misty Knight's in most of Iron Fist season 2, right? Well, is she an Iron Fist character? No, she's a Luke Cage character. I mean, is she? She spent about as much time on screen.
Most of her comics have been spent making out with Iron Fist, so...
There is that.
So, I mean, I just think at this point,
it's a wait and see game.
Yeah, somebody on Reddit said they think that the Luke Cage is going to get canceled too, because they haven't confirmed Luke Cage season 3 yet.
Right.
And that they're both going to move as Heroes for Hire over to the Disney streaming platform, which I don't think they can, because I imagine Netflix has the contract for
Netflix
X number
owns
of years.
Part of the creative license to it.
They probably own the entire license to it for a certain amount of time, and... even then, like, using Finn Jones and Mike Coulter would probably violate something in all that. So I don't see that happening.
There's another
stay on Netflix.
There's another factor here, and it's the fact that Disney has already said and made it clear that adult content will not be on their streaming
service.
But
Iron Fist would be the easiest one to make not adult content.
But Luke Cage isn't.
Luke Cage.
That's a lot of guns.
Yeah. I mean, he's the bulletproof man. That's the whole point, you know? And I don't think that that's going to be very successful. Iron Fist is, yes, I think you're right. It's the easiest to do that with. But Luke Cage certainly isn't easy.
And they couldn't move Daredevil over there. There's no way. Not. And what everybody
Punisher,
loves about Daredevil would get removed. Same
or even
Punisher.
Jessica Jones.
And Jessica Jones. Yeah, I mean, all those characters, there's no way.
They're all five hyper-violent characters, and they have to be because they don't really have superpowers. So that is the audience they've created. This is the bed they've made. Now they have to figure out the best way to go about it. Because we said from the beginning, we don't think that this should have been done in seasons where everybody just gets a ton of seasons until we're all done with the show. That it should have all been like a cohesive storyline, and, you know, you just create what you need to create to tell the good story. So,
yeah,
absolutely. I know people just want to see everything under the Disney umbrella now. That's the cool thing to say, but they've made it pretty clear that their service is still going to be Disney, and there's nothing Disney about Daredevil.
Well, and Charlie Cox is now pushing for Defenders Season 2. I don't know if you guys saw those articles.
I did not.
He said that he agrees with the criticisms of Season 1. And that he thinks they could do better in a Season 2 now that a team has been established.
I think they could, too.
Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, look.
I'd watch it.
We all thought Defenders was kind of lackluster, but was it the worst first season of a show I've ever seen?
No.
No, and also, once they got together was the best part.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing them all interact was the best parts, and I think if they just did the whole show that way, we didn't have to wait 4 episodes for them to start teaming up. You know, then I think they'd have a pretty good hit on their hand.
Some characters were incredibly improved. Danny Rand was incredibly improved, and so was Elektra. The two of them were starkly different from their previous iterations and much, much better. They figured out how to write for them because they weren't writing an origin and they were writing the character at that point.
Right.
So it was more interesting. But moving on, we can still keep with Disney. So the Aladdin teaser dropped since our last episode, and decent teaser. You know, that's all it was. It was a minute, maybe a minute and a half.
We know that there's going to be a lot of sand. That's one thing we learned in the teaser.
Yeah.
Which really, I mean, that was kind of shocking.
Yeah, it was shocking
that,
for
that
me.
That was going to be.
Yeah.
I actually like the poster, too. They released a teaser poster, and I thought it was really nice. It's just the lamp.
Could they have released a poster you wouldn't have liked?
I mean, sure. There's bad posters.
I feel like you probably would have liked nearly any poster.
I think if they had done a floating head type poster. I never liked the floating head posters. You know, I don't. I think they're lazy. And so at least this one was simple.
Oh, Marvel does.
Not always. There's been some cool Marvel. But like the Ant-Man and the Wasp poster was really cool.
I liked the Homecoming one where he's just laying on the bench.
Homecoming was good, yeah.
Which was an accidental one. He was just relaxing and they took a picture of
it.
It
was brilliant.
Yeah.
Right? It turns out to be, like, that's the thing. Like, sometimes, you know, simple works, and that's what the Aladdin one is. It's the lamp, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, everybody wants to see what the lamp's going to look like if you're into Aladdin. That's my favorite animated Disney film, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what this ends up being.
So, you, in particular, right after, said that you're happy that they showed the character, not just a bunch of CGI rendered stuff.
And you mean the character of Aladdin?
Any character
would
have been okay. Like the whole teaser is, what, a minute long?
Yeah.
And 49 and a half seconds or more, maybe like up to like 55 seconds, is literally nothing other than scenery. And, you know, in the last 5 seconds or whatever, you get to see Aladdin. And so that made me happy. I would have probably liked to see more character design, personally, because, I mean, landscape is great and all, but I'm more of a character kind of guy. And, you know, I would like to see Jasmine or, you know, more of Iago or, you know, any other character, really.
A Jafar reveal would have been kind of cool.
Jafar would have been great, but I don't know if I lead off with that.
I'm looking forward to the character posters. Beauty and the Beast had very beautiful character posters when it came out, and I'm looking forward to those.
Yeah, I absolutely am. I think Jafar would have been cool simply because he has the opportunity to look the most interesting without the need for CGI, like the genie. right? Because, I mean, Aladdin is and Jasmine have fairly basic outfits in most of the film.
Yes.
Right? Unless you want to show the Prince Ali look, if they're even going to do that.
I don't know.
You know?
So, there is some controversy.
Why? Is it because Aladdin's wearing a shirt?
I'm actually okay with not seeing his nipples.
Oh, okay.
I'm
good. He doesn't have nipples in the cartoon, it's if true. I remember right. None of the,
well, they did nipples on Triton, and so they decided to pass on.
And that went over so well.
Right.
That,
can you milk me, Craig? sorry. Anyway, I guess one of the original writers came out on Twitter and said that he is not being paid for them completely lifting the stuff that he wrote. So it is plagiarism. New screenwriters have adapted this, completely stole other people's work, and because Disney owns both, you don't have to pay the old guy, I guess, or the previous writer. Not old guy, I apologize.
I mean, from a straight, like, off-the-cuff moral standpoint, it sounds really shitty.
It does.
Right? However,
from a business standpoint, they're not obligated to pay him at all.
But I don't know if they are or not. I don't know what the contracts were. When you wrote the screenplay for the original Aladdin animated feature, what were you signing your rights away to, right? You got paid for that movie, but what did that mean for future
productions? Did you get royalties every time that those lines were said?
I mean, I'm sure, you know, writers don't always get a back-end deal. Right. So when, you know, it went to VHS and later DVD and Blu-ray, I don't know if they got a cut of that or not. This is a different film. So I guess the question would be how do they handle Beauty and the Beast and Cinderella? I would imagine those have to be similar situations.
Those original writers don't have Twitter.
That's the key.
Yep.
Hire writers who are not on social media. No, the point here is, like, I totally get why a person would be upset about that, but I don't know the contracts, and Disney may be within its rights, or they may be totally trying to screw somebody
over. I'm pretty sure Disney is within its rights, because they're a huge company that wouldn't risk bad exposure for something that can legally... You think that they don't have a million lawyers overlooking every single thing that the company does?
I feel like this controversy has probably already been handled. I'm sure they threw like 10 grand at him and just said, suck it up, buttercup, and that was it.
Here, take my scraps.
Yeah.
Disney, you know, is not a perfect corporation. They've made mistakes because it's ran by
humans. Well, no, I mean, Aladdin's already had some issues with hiring white extras and putting them in brownface. Like,
somehow that got out of the radar of the legal team. You know?
I don't know why? Because I hear there's an entire country filled with a billion people, and they make movies on par with ours. So, like, you couldn't just hire some of the Bollywood actors? Like, not even a little? Like,
I mean, extras parts are pretty important.
One could argue that they're Indian, though. They wouldn't be Arabian.
Oh,
Agrabah is a fictional country for a reason, so, you know.
Right, but the song is Arabian Nights, so Saudi Arabia would be where I would assume that place is supposed to exist.
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look up the ethnicity of Aladdin, Jasmine, and Jafar, and I bet you they aren't either.
Report back next week.
Right. I was supposed to make myself, like, baked goods, and I didn't get to. I'm very upset. I'm going to do it next week. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right, what else we got?
The crew member died on the set of Tom Hanks's Mr. Rogers biopic.
He was doing a stunt, you know, jumping out of a window to another building, which is part of Tom Hanks, or Mr. Rogers' life.
Apparently, and.
No, it was, he like
it was
fell.
It an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not a great thing. You know, nobody wants to hear about people passing away on the sets of movies, especially on a Mr. Rogers movie. It's, you know, you'd expect it on like the next Fast and the Furious movie, but nope. Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of an unexpected sudden thing. There's, you know, it was, if I remember right, it was some type of lighting accident. Right,
well, I can
like
imagine that on the Fast and Furious movies, they have a ton of people just standing by waiting for something to go wrong, and here they didn't, you know?
I mean, maybe. I'm sure that there's certain safety regulations for the lighting crews and things like that and stuff, but it's sad. It sucks, you know? Certainly, you never really want that to happen, but, you know, what are you going to do? It's very unfortunate.
So the Titans debuted this weekend.
You guys did or did not watch it?
We haven't watched it yet.
Because
Derek
they're
is refusing. Derek, you don't need to get into
we're
this.
We're not refusing. It's kind of bullshit.
Look, I have an Xbox One, PlayStation 4, an Amazon Fire TV, and I can't use any of those devices to watch DC Universe. And I think that that's really silly for a premium service that they want me to spend $75 a year on to watch these shows, and I can't watch it on the two consoles that, I mean, you know, let's put Nintendo aside for a minute. There's two consoles, and you couldn't have an app for either one of them. Seems like a pretty big
mistake. How was the show? Did you
know
like
what
it?
I had to watch it on? A Chromecast.
I don't have it's a Chromecast, amazing. Man.
Well, I paid $30 for it. How much were your consoles? Anyway.
You mean the console? You own one of these consoles.
Yeah, but I don't need to use it to watch TV. I enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
I thought it was cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, certain parts of it were very
good cheesy.
Good cheesy
or bad cheesy?
I think I'm still, the jury's still out.
Okay.
But I think that the stuff I saw, I was good with, I liked. I think the acting is, you know, when you watch the first season of a show with actors that haven't done a lot and you feel like, man, this acting's rough, but I really like the concept. It's basically that.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple of actors on there that you can tell have done stuff before and they're pretty good. But then, like, Raven, for example, is in real life a 14-year-old girl and just not very experienced with acting, and it definitely shows.
Got it.
And they're giving her really cheesy writing.
Okay.
My mommy said there's no such thing as monsters. I'm beginning to think that's a lie, or something like that, was a real line in the show. And I mean, it was bad. But
sounds like a comic book line to me.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely a comic book line. I'm trying to figure out if they're going for it needs to feel like a comic book, or if they're going for it's like Daredevil. Mm. You know what I mean? Because Daredevil doesn't really feel comic booky.
So they're
me,
not.
Anyway.
So after the first episode, it's not really sure what it is yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what it is. Maybe they are, but I didn't get it. And the controversy over Starfire, there's still some people out there about it. But I was fine. Like 2 seconds in, I was like, all right, she's the best actress on the show. I'm fine with this. And you get to see her, you know, with the green eyes and kind of get some orange looking stuff when she activates her fire for the first time.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of implied that maybe she, I don't know if I'm just reading too much into it, that she's a shapeshifter or takes on the form of whatever planet she's on or something. So maybe that's how they're justifying it, or if they feel a need to justify it at all. I don't know. It's very confusing. You don't really get.
Okay.
She when you see her, she's confused about who she is.
Okay.
Interesting.
So
okay.
I'm not really sure where they're going with that, but it's definitely the most intriguing storyline so far. But yeah, one
Fair
episode
enough.
In. It's exciting.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it.
We will watch it. So when we do this podcast, we stream on Twitch and everything. So we have a TV so we can watch chat. It's a Roku TV. So I'm going to move it to another part of the house so that way we can watch the show because it is on Roku. So that's what we'll do.
Okay. Sounds good. So Elseworlds, this year's CW crossover is looking really good, guys.
I'm very curious about it. So they released, Stephen Amell posted a...
He's been posting everything, basically.
Well, yeah. He posted a poster today of Flash and Arrow, but swapped. So,
and this is an official poster.
Yeah, an official poster. So Ollie is the Flash.
Or
is he Barry Allen, right? Stephen Amell is in the Flash costume, and Grant Gustin is in the Arrow costume. And they actually look really good.
It looks so good.
Although I don't think this stubble works for me for the Flash.
For some reason, I thought they both might have looked better than when they
were. Well, it's because the cowl fits Stephen Amell better because he has a chin.
I was just joking, but I think since both shows have kind of like become very lackluster, maybe we should just do this for the rest of the...
The first Arrow episode of this season has a 9.5 out of 10 on IMDb right
That's
now.
Impressive.
I haven't watched it. It was just last night, I think. But
a lot
very
of
highly
people
rated.
Tuned in to watch it, too. It got a big bump.
And the first two episodes of Flash were actually pretty solid
That's
so
impressive.
Far. So, I mean, maybe it'll be better this season. I'm hoping so. I know Arrow got a new showrunner, and so that will probably help.
Yeah. Fresh blood always helps. I'm not saying that people have done poorly in the past, but bringing on new people to have new ideas is a great thing.
It really
is.
They also showed, or Stephen Amell also shared a picture of him and Grant with the Tyler Hoche, or however you say his name, that's playing Superman in a black Superman suit.
Yeah.
Which is probably not a Rebirth suit, but it's probably just an Elseworlds Superman suit.
Right.
It looks cool.
It looks cool, yeah. And then
kind of has like weird clasps I saw. Like
he has those same clasps on the Superman suit.
No, on the regular
suit.
I don't think
they just stand out a lot more because they're bright silver on something that's incredibly black and has almost no definition.
Yeah, it's like super black. right?
Yeah.
Like, there is some texture on the suit, but you have to look for it.
Right. Which I don't really love. Like, the cape actually makes the whole thing look like that you can't barely even see the suit because the cape is such a matching black.
He was just wearing a hoodie at first. I had to zoom in on the picture.
Yeah. It's not my favorite rendition of the black Superman suit, but maybe it'll work better on film. That was just a random picture.
Right.
Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah.
Can't judge that.
But there's a lot of fun stuff.
But I mean,
going
Superman
on.
Is going to be in the crossover.
Right.
Which
means
he'll get kidnapped in the first 5 minutes.
Fingers
and everybody will have to save him.
Well, I don't know about that necessarily.
Seems likely.
I'm still bummed that John Jones is not in these crossovers. He's one of my favorite DC characters ever, so having him on a TV show is huge, and having him on the first big crossover events posters and then not show up at all was really frustrating.
Yeah.
I don't think he was in the last year's Nazi crossover
either.
His
CGI is just so expensive. It's hard for them to justify it.
Maybe you don't need the CGI. You already have him changed, and you just use the prosthetics and don't have him shapeshift. I mean, you know, I feel like there's ways to do it.
I'm just explaining. Like, I don't think it's a good thing.
He's also very powerful compared to almost every other hero on there, so I feel like that makes it tough. Also, just the same reason that Superman's not going to be doing anything in the crossover, I can almost guarantee you. Supergirl alone is powerful. I mean, she's way more powerful than
anybody else on the Arrowverse.
I mean, Flash is debatable, but for sure, you know, Arrow and anybody in Arrow's crew. You know, unless Felicity's going to hack her or something, which, knowing the CW, you know,
she'll
that's entirely
her,
possible. Yeah, she'll do a whole town, so why not?
God. Anyway, it's cool. I'm looking forward to it. Batwoman looks awesome.
Yeah.
She does. Yeah, they did reveal a new picture of her, the first picture of her, which I don't think we talked about. But
I don't know if we did.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. Yeah.
Yeah, looks pretty cool.
She looks great.
Looks great. Someone in chat says that it's dope what the CW is delivering right now.
I'm assuming he's talking about the Arrow episode.
I think so. There's a bit of a delay. But yeah. Either way, I'm hearing a lot of positivity about the CW's Arrowverse this season. And
Legends of Tomorrow was really great last season. It was by far the best of all the shows. So I'm hoping that they continue in that direction.
Yeah, they're being left out of the crossover, which is interesting.
They said they're doing their own crossover, though. One of the actors, I think Katie Lotz said they're doing their own version of the crossover.
Can you cross over with, if they're going to cross over with themselves?
Who knows?
That'd be fun.
I mean, they're time travelers. So.
They are. I'm good with it. Hey, I love the cast on Legends of Tomorrow. I do. For me, that's the show I'm most enjoying right now anyway.
Me too.
So I'm fine with that. If they want to they don't have rules on that show. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Did you guys watch all of last season?
No, we're not. Okay. So basically,
we stopped at the crossover. We're catching up on the
last season. Got ridiculously awesome towards the end.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
I can't say that enough.
All right. Anything else?
Yes.
You want to talk?
Shazam Gate.
Dun dun.
How dare you try and skip that, Rachel?
I'm so sorry.
It wasn't written down on your list.
It's a 2018 tradition.
Yeah, that's right. And it will continue into 2019. Guaranteed.
I guarantee this will continue after the movie comes out.
We're still going to have it.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, don't steal my thunder here, Derek. This is the one thing I take responsibility for on this podcast.
That's not true.
It's the only thing I do on the ship. It's my only job.
You show up.
That's true. Okay, so starting big, Zachary Levi said was ready to join the Justice League basically as soon as he saw the poster when he was walking in for his audition. He said in an interview that he saw the poster when he was walking into audition for it. He could picture himself being up on that poster and was very excited about that prospect. I bet he's glad he wasn't in it now. But you know,
I don't know. I mean, the movie might have been better if he was.
I don't know if that could have saved it.
It wouldn't have been worse.
Yeah, that's true.
That's so true.
That was the big news story this week. But he also shared a story about how he got 13 stitches playing Wii Tennis once from hitting a ceiling fan while he was playing.
Huge, man.
So that's a thing. He compared the Shazam movie to The Goonies. He said he didn't compare it to Big. He compared it to The Goonies. He said it has a very adventure-type feel, and it made him feel like he was watching The Goonies when he was a kid.
So Derek's never seen The Goonies.
That's true.
So you don't really
I've
get it.
I've seen bits and pieces.
He's trying to be interested.
How dare you lie.
It is
like
interesting.
This.
Wait a minute. I have seen bits and pieces, and I'm aware of what The Goonies is, and so I understand the basic context of what you're saying.
Okay. He also said that he can't wait for all the little Shazams in Halloween costumes next year.
Oh, me either.
Yeah.
So, I can't wait for that either. I can't wait to see the costumes. They're going to be so great. The super cheap, like, Target costumes.
It's going
to
be
I can't wait for that. I hope they all have big, fake muscles.
So kind of tangential to Shazam Gate, he might get his chance to be a member of the Justice League sooner than we thought.
Oh, right. WB is reportedly done with Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill.
Yeah, Variety is reporting this, so a pretty strong source.
Yeah, Variety is pretty intense.
Basically saying that Warner Brothers has decided to not make any more movies with Henry Cavill's Superman or Ben Affleck's Batman, which, I mean, basically means...
That disappoints me greatly.
Yeah, it's
really... It was how I fell in love with Henry Cavill, was Man of Steel, and he's, you know, people can get mad at me and hate on him all they want, but he is my Superman, you know. I didn't get into the Christopher Reeve ones as much, and Brandon Routh, I never really watched that movie. I did watch Lois and Clark, and I liked Dean Cain as Superman, but Henry Cavill has been it for me, so.
It's not like we have the same connection to Tim Daly that we do Kevin Conroy either. Yeah, there's a little bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah,
so Henry Cavill's my Superman too, and
which is weird because after Man of Steel, I felt like you wouldn't have said you didn't.
Henry Cavill is not my problem with Man of Steel. That's I fair. Thought he embodied what I wanted to see, but like DC has made a lot of really egregious mistakes, and I feel like they keep digging themselves into a grave because they just won't double down and stand behind something. They keep throwing things away. They threw away original scripts for things because it was too this or too that, and they threw away Snyder so fast, and now Affleck and Cavill, and they were not the problems at any point. Like,
no, I mean, Ben Affleck was a little bit, not his acting, but like his loves the character so much that he wanted to oversee everything about the character and make sure that it was perfect. And that delayed a lot of things. Like, the Batman, they confirmed that a long time ago, before Batman v Superman ever came out. Well, and he wanted to be the director. This was his thing. He actually was going to walk away from Batman v Superman at one point because he didn't agree with the way the script was going. And he wanted to bring in his own scriptwriter. And he did that. And
considering how controversial BVS was, maybe he was right.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know. Maybe his concerns were warranted and he was sick of the studio not listening, and that's why he backed off a bit to begin with.
The movie was not handled well. There are some brilliant moments in it, there are some fun moments in it, but it wasn't handled well. Neither was Justice League and neither was Suicide Squad. There's too much trying to battle each other in the films, and as a film goer, it was very obvious to me that the problem was production. The studio...
Multiple visions and, you know, things like that, for sure.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I absolutely loved Ben Affleck's Batman. I'm not sure if it's my favorite, but it's definitely really good.
It's not my favorite, but it's for sure my second favorite. And, you know, yeah, he did a great job. The suit design was great. Ironhead Studios killed it with that. I mean, they brought in the right people for making that suit. And, you know, I don't know. Just about everything related to the character was good other than the actual movie.
Jeremy Irons and Ben Affleck are my favorite. Alfred and Bruce team up.
Yeah, their chemistry I thought was really good.
They had really, good kind of dad, kind of son rapport. It wasn't just a butler waiting on him, but it also wasn't Michael Caine telling Christian Bale to burn down the entire forest. Like, what terrible advice for that.
Well, it's disappointing. The outcome here is going to be, you know, one of two things. Either they just continue the movies without Batman and Superman, which they could do. I mean, let's face it, the MCU was built on Iron Man, who was not an A-list superhero before 2008.
And at this point, you know, they've thrown their eggs into the Momoa, Gadot, and Levi basket, and they also have Suicide Squad and Birds of Prey moving forward, so... Yeah, you know, it's not like there's a ton of room for Batman and Superman in those pictures at this point.
No, but they could recast them, you know.
I think eventually they'll have to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, eventually.
They really should just write it out and have Dick Batts come in and as Nightwing Batman and have it be a strange student of
and
Bruce.
And Supergirl.
Yeah, and Supergirl. Or, you know, there's a lot of characters with the exact same powers as Superman, basically. Like, I mean, even Shazam himself could fill the physical role. Maybe not, like, Superman's wisdom or whatever.
Well, that's part of the problem, right? Is if you lose Superman.
Wonder Woman is older than Superman, and yeah. she has plenty of wisdom.
She has to be the leader of the team if you don't have
Superman. Yeah, Shazam should not be
the leader. It's got to be one of the... Right, you can't have a 12-year-old kid
right.
being the leader
lead
of the team.
Lead a group of huge superheroes, yeah.
You know, and, you know, Cyborg
and
Flash... He's 14.
He's practically an adult.
That's true.
So sorry. Flash and Cyborg have never really led the Justice League either, so you still have to have...
And they might even not be a thing either.
Well, we didn't talk about that, yeah. So the Flash is delayed till 2021 now because Ezra Miller's busy filming Fantastic Beasts 3.
They say that's the reason.
I mean, at this point, like, if that movie ever happens, I'm going to be fairly surprised.
It's probably as likely as the Green Lantern Corps movie.
I used to think it was more likely in the Green Lantern Corps movie, but apparently we were wrong about
that.
They
should just combine those two movies and make it one movie.
Well, I don't know that would work.
The Flash and Green Lantern? Because that's never been done
in comic Lantern books. If you do a Green Lantern Corps movie, then you have to have multiple Green Lanterns and some type of cosmic event, and Flash doesn't really fit in with that.
We don't need
it.
Then we just change it from a Green Lantern Corps movie and make it a Green Lantern Flash team up.
I mean, that's fine.
That would be sweet.
I'm fine with that.
That's fine.
You wouldn't be okay with that?
That's fine. I think it's fine.
You just want Green Lantern in his own movie.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I wanted him to show up in Justice League, right? My point is that I'm kind of sick of looking forward to DCEU films at this point.
Which is weird, because you are probably the biggest DCEU fan.
Which I think it means he feels the most betrayed by them, because they set out this map and they haven't followed through with anything.
It's so frustrating, okay, is really what it is. Like, I'm looking forward to Shazam, because I love Zachary Levi, okay? I think he's wonderful, and I will see anything that he's in, and so I'm
and you're not
that
big
that.
Of a Shazam fan.
I'm looking forward to the next three films, because so far everything just looks fun. Like, it looks like enjoyable pictures being made.
Well, the third film is The Joker.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm looking forward to Aquaman, Wonder Woman 84, and Shazam.
Oh, Wonder Woman's like 2 months
before
The Joker,
I'm not paying attention to this weird-ass 1960s maybe Joker film. Like,
that might have the Batmobile in it. 80s. Might have the...
They've said that.
They've said that it's the 80s?
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, is he going to show up in the Wonder Woman movie?
That's their crossover. Wonder Woman's gonna go and pop his head off.
That'd be great.
God, that's my problem. I'm kind of just sick of looking forward to these movies.
Yeah.
At this point, now there's all these rumors that 20 minutes were cut from Aquaman, and they have to now deny that those rumors happened. And I'm sure we'll find out later that it was true for some stupid reason. And you know, whatever. If the movies come out, I'll watch them.
Right.
That's about it for me. Uh-huh.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back very shortly to discuss The Cable Guy, which is Ryan's pick for Fill Our Holes review.
That's right.
He's filling Derek's hole tonight.
Thoroughly.
We'll be right back.
Do you like Star Trek? Because over at Red Shirts and Runabouts, part of the Heroes Podcast Network, we absolutely love Star Trek. Join us every week with me, one of your regular hosts, Gregory Bosco. As we talk about your favorite characters, your favorite movies, your favorite episodes, we even respond to some of your comments on Twitter and Facebook, at least those that are appropriate for us to talk about online, every Friday. Red Shirts and Runabouts. See you next week.
Let's talk about Cable Guy. Ryan, kind of introduce us since this was your pick.
Well, this is Rachel, and this is Derek, and we're part of Screen Heroes.
You're hilarious.
We do a podcast every Tuesday night.
Come on.
No, my pick was Cable Guy because, the big part was because Derek has never seen it, and I think I've brought it up a couple times on the podcast. It's one of my favorite kind of undervalued comedy films from the 90s, and, you know, it's actors that Derek likes and subject matter that Derek likes and, you know, just a very weird way of seeing an actor we like in a role that you didn't see him in at the time. And so I thought it would be fun to see what he thought about it and fill that gap in his movie knowledge, or fill his hole, as you will.
So what about the movie do you like?
I mean, that's pretty tough to narrow down. You know, obviously I'm a fan of movies and TV, so there's a huge basis there.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey was somebody that really kind of morphed my sense of humor early on. My family quoted Ace Ventura, Cable Guy.
Did you ever bend over and talk out of your ass?
Not on a regular basis, but I mean, I do talk out of my ass even on this podcast pretty regularly. So, yeah, I could say that I learned that from Ace Ventura. But I mean, I don't know. it just resonated with me a lot as a kid, and I didn't understand why people didn't go see it really, or appreciate it. But now, as you know, watching when I watched it as an adult, I realized there's probably a good reason why. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I loved it, and I am a little sad that it's going to not be relevant soon because the references are going to be outdated. Mm-hmm. They're already a little dated, unfortunately. But not for somebody like Derek, because Derek is very familiar with older media, but, for kids nowadays, they would not appreciate it nearly as much as we would.
I think the technology is definitely not, it solves most of the plot issues if you have a cell phone.
It's a 90s problem, right? It's not a cable guy problem. It's a 90s problem. If you were a TV show or a movie made in the 90s about the 90s, and it wasn't some, sci-fi fantasy thing, then you probably have a plot that wouldn't really work that well today.
Well, 90% of Friends episodes wouldn't even occur.
Friends and Seinfeld.
Yeah, if there was a cell phone involved.
So specifically to this movie, something I did find interesting upon rewatching it that I probably picked up on it before, but it felt like a new revelation to me was when he goes and takes him to the satellite the first time, mm-hmm. and he, goes through a spiel about, pretty soon your phone and computer and TV will be connected. And this was in 1996, mind you, so AOL was barely a thing at that point.
And I think it was 2.0, give or take, 3.0.
This was before we had our cell phones connected, or cell phones really were a giant thing that you didn't have.
I think people take for granted that, just 4 years ago, my phone wasn't capable of doing as much as it is now.
You were a little behind the times. But yeah, it's, in general, no.
I was poor.
It's a good point, though, right? Because you think about, 1996... We had internet at home, but it was really because my dad needed it for work. It was a 256K modem, and nobody could use the phone while we were connected to the internet. So it was really just for business, and it was AOL 2.0 at the time.
But they predicted in this movie that our phones would be connected. Now, I don't know that they necessarily predicted that it would be done this way, specifically as our real life has happened, but he was talking about playing Mortal Kombat with your friend in Vietnam because you couldn't really connect to the internet and play a game with somebody. That wasn't really a thing in 96.
But you can do that now.
Easily. I don't know if anybody knows that. Yeah. Almost every game that comes out, including phone games.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So I did appreciate that. I thought that was pretty neat.
So I guess we should just figure out kind of what you overall thought.
Yeah. First watch, what did you think?
So Jim Carrey is fantastic in it. He's wonderful in this. Matthew Broderick's okay. He's all right.
I feel like that's his whole life. Matthew Broderick's okay.
He isn't really the main character, even though he is the main character.
It's from his point of view.
Yeah.
Right? But it's
his point of view is not interesting at all.
And it's not supposed to be. Because otherwise...
That's not the point of the movie.
Right. I will say that I was surprised... Because looking back, since I didn't see it back when it came out, I was surprised that it was a 1996 film because it actually feels older than that.
Yeah.
It feels like an early 90s movie instead of a second
half. Is
that
a negative for you?
Not a negative. It just doesn't feel as modern as some of the other later 90s films is all.
modern ladies.
Well, for example, on Red Shirts and Runabouts, last week we reviewed Star Trek First Contact, another 1996 movie. And they're just very, very different films, filmed in very, very different ways. If these two were going to be put up next to each other and you were to ask, which year did these come out in? I would think the average person would probably assume First Contact was a more recent film than The Cable Guy, but they're not. They're the same year. So I just thought it was interesting. They don't really make movies like this anymore.
No.
Right? The scale is super small. The stakes are pretty small. And I like that.
It's very personal. Yeah.
Very personal. Because I'm a dialogue guy.
Creepily personal. Well, because, it is kind of a scary, thought.
Well, that's the thing, right?
You change a couple things around, it's a horror film.
Exactly. Okay. Yes.
Well, that dream sequence, when he's I just want to hang out, Steven. green eyes and chasing him in a cheesy way.
The way that was shot reminded me of Bill and Ted a little bit.
Yeah. I think it was supposed to, almost every shot in the movie was supposed to kind of make you feel like you'd seen something similar in a previous movie or reference a previous movie or something. So there's a lot of that that feels like it. That's like the scene with the spiders crawling on his face when he's talking on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like that scene.
Really? Why? Because you don't like spiders.
I don't like spiders.
Fine.
So, I mean, the scene did what it was supposed to do. Yeah. Right? You're not supposed to, like, if you looked at that scene, like, oh, adorable, I'm not sure if we can be friends.
Yeah, that scene did not do its job, if that's what you did.
But, no, I like character-driven films. I like dialogue-driven films. And so that's what this one is.
Yeah.
Right? So I found it really interesting. I had no idea where it was going to go, because this is a movie that I didn't see, but also didn't hear talked about very
much. It's not popular. People don't discuss it, you know.
So I had no idea what it was about, legitimately. Like, I knew that those two actors were in it.
And you knew that we had said some stuff, like, in our Trinity chat.
Yes.
About it being, you know, very meta in terms of, like, our podcast doing a review of a movie that's so focused on how much consumption of media we have, mm-hmm. you know.
So. That's fair. I liked it overall. I thought it was really interesting. It's not my favorite Jim Carrey movie, but I really liked it. I would put it pretty high on my list of Jim Carrey movies, though. I liked it more than Dumb and Dumber. I liked it more than Ace Ventura.
Which is saying a lot, because those are some pretty highly regarded. Yeah.
So I'm saying, like, movies. I liked it. I don't think that's necessarily his best work, but I really liked it.
So, I mean, the one reason right? that came to my mind when I wanted you to watch this movie is one
I'm
specific
dying to
scene,
hear about this.
Which is the scene that everybody resonates with everybody that watch. Anytime you bring up the cable guy to somebody, they might not remember shit about the movie, but they remember this one scene, the scene at medieval times,
the jousting.
Yeah. Okay.
The Amok time.
So
scene.
I need to ask Rachel first of all, how hard was he laughing during this scene?
Okay.
When they start going into the Star Trek
so
references.
He wasn't, like, laughing so hard. As soon as, like, he said, let's go to medieval times, I, like, grip his thigh, and I'm, like, so excited for him to see this
I
scene.
I wish I could have been there. I wish you would have filmed it.
He was just very... He was into it. He was like... they referenced the thing!
It's one of those... It's okay. So the episode Amok Time, for anybody who doesn't know, is one of the more iconic original series Star Trek episodes where Kirk and Spock have to fight each other. And the music is incredibly iconic. And it's parodied a million times over. And to see it parodied again in a way that was super enjoyable and fun and different was a nice kind of refresher. But it was great. It was a really
when he started humming this song, what did you think?
I smiled, right? Like, I didn't laugh necessarily, but I really smiled.
You appreciated the
reference.
Which I think is what a lot of this movie was about. Yeah. You know, it wasn't going to make you, like, bust out laughing like a crazy person, but you appreciate and the reference makes you smile or happy. And I think that there's a lot of that in this movie, which is weird considering it's so much of a dark comedy.
That whole scene is really fun because, like, so I've heard of medieval times before, but I've never been the one. I've always wanted to check one
They're
out because it sounds fun.
They don't do that. They don't pull people from the audience.
No.
And
well, they
fight.
Say in the movie that was a special thing.
I feel like that would open them up to a couple of lawsuits. Garofalo's the waitress. She's the
Andy Dick is the guy that's
Andy
the
Dick is in there.
Announcer
so that was another thing. I completely forgot how many famous people were in this film.
Jack Black was a big one.
Another small Star Trek reference. Andy Dick was on Star Trek Voyager the following year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, there you go.
He's fake.
Owen Wilson's in it.
Yeah.
That threw me off. That totally, like, when I saw that, because, like, so Ben Stiller
directed this
it.
And wrote it.
Which
and he's in it.
Was super weird for me because, you know, it's like a Ben Stiller film. I'm like, how many did he do? But
I know of three.
He did Tropic Thunder, right?
He did Tropic Thunder and he did Reality Bright.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about Tropic Thunder.
And
so my
all three
head,
of those are really good. They're actually my favorite that
he's
ever been in.
He's a pretty good comedy director for those two movies.
I like the bit role that he gave himself in the movie
as the murderer of the twins. Yeah.
That was really fun. And it was interesting trying to guess how that was going to tie back into the rest of the movie because I mean they kept bringing it up so I'm like well obviously this is going to somehow tie back in at the end. I had no idea how and I love the way that it did with everybody having a cable outage.
Yeah.
Like,
well I mean
great.
At the time the O.J. Simpson trial that it was a parallel to the O.J. Simpson trial.
See that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I like
I mean
that.
I don't know exactly what year the O.J. Simpson trial was going on but I'm pretty sure that they're around the same time and that's what it was meant to parallel.
I like that.
What? Didn't the Menendez brothers, weren't they on trial for killing
that
their parents?
Might have been it, too.
Like, there was a lot of high-profile crime trials that, like, people tuned in to watch every day.
Yeah.
So
I remember more specifically, though, Jason Patrol
at
the
well,
time
that
for me.
Huge, but...
Everybody was watching TV, getting updates, you know, about
there
that.
There's tons of that stuff. Like, the little girl, Lisa, the little girl.
JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, JonBenet Ramsey. Yeah.
Ah, the 90s. Anyway. We remember it so fondly, however. Right.
But, I mean, Bob Odenkirk plays Matthew Broderick's brother, and so now he's huge.
Yeah. That was one of his earlier, you know, kind of small roles.
It's gotta be.
So the cast was really interesting. I mean, Jack Black is in it.
Yeah, very young Jack Black. So young. This was very early in his career, but he was only doing bit parts at this time. He was not a household name, but not even close.
Kyle Gass from Tenacious D with Jack Black was also in it at the very end. He's the guy that picks up the book and guess I'll read.
In the middle of the book. But
I love when people do that. They just pick it up in the middle. Like, no, books don't work like that.
So I really enjoyed that because, if you saw it in 1996, these actors aren't going to really mean anything because they weren't anything yet.
Right.
But now a lot of these people are household names. They're major stars. They're some of my favorites. And so it's really cool to see really young incarnations of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Before they were like anything, really. They were just trying to be actors at that point, trying to be successful.
I mean, this was a cool experience because it is rare to find a movie that old that I haven't seen and also hasn't been spoiled.
That could have been
me.
Part of your childhood, even, because it was right in that time frame.
Absolutely. But like, you talk like The Goonies, I know a lot about The Goonies, but I've never seen it. The Cable Guy I went into almost blind, and that made it really fun for me to it's almost...
You were discovering a lot of things.
Yeah, it was like a little time capsule that, you know, I don't get very often. So that was cool.
And it's about things you love, because you love media, movies, TV, and all that stuff. And that's 100% what it's focused on.
I totally loved when he rearranges Broderick's living room.
Oh, right at the beginning?
Get the right signal. Because
what about when he's, like, rubbing the wall and, like...
Oh, well, that guy was a little...
off-putting?
That was a little Ace Ventura-y for me.
Was it?
Compared to the rest of him in the movie.
Okay.
But that just the idea of him setting it all up like that, because, you know, they're... And I'm sure services like this still exist, right? But there was a big movement of, like, hiring professionals to set up your entertainment center.
To optimize your screen. Yeah,
exactly.
Your
1996 Panasonic.
Or when he's, like, got the remote, he's, like, you know, set all the settings. Yeah, that's so good.
I just thought that was really great. I thought that was really fun.
Huge callback.
Okay, so the other big scene that people remember from this movie is the karaoke scene.
That
is
my favorite scene.
That was a little weird, because it was kind of like, so all the characters that show up that are like his, you know, preferred customers, they were all like really odd people for the most part.
I think by choice.
So it kind of reminded me of like Kramer and Seinfeld, who just like was friends with all the odd people.
Yeah.
And then you have, I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name, but he basically always plays a cop.
Oh yeah.
So it was funny seeing him, you know, because looking basically the same age, I remember him looking.
Yeah, because he's always looked that age every time you see him. Yeah.
So it was kind of a weird scene. I had a hunch that the woman was not going to end up being just some woman that was into him. I kind of called that, but I didn't know. I didn't know that was supposed
not
to
a
be.
Trip.
that was so if creepy. This movie was made today, it probably wouldn't fly because of the stalking and that scene in particular. Yeah. Do you guys consider that like a form of assault? Like to be lied to, like having sex?
Wow, we're getting deep on this one.
A little bit. Like there are a lot of gray areas for this kind of stuff. Like, is it, it's definitely not appropriate to not.
No, it was not a cool thing for him to do. I don't think
I don't think it was in 96 either, because that's the whole point of the scene.
I mean, look, again, this goes back to kind of a sex thing too, right? Because if it was the other way around, right, and Broderick was a woman character and the prostitute was a guy, it would probably have a more negative connotation, right? But, you know, movies tend to keep the old stereotypical frat guy kind of mentality where it's, you know...
I'm not even saying that she did something wrong. She may not even know. I mean, like...
No, I'm saying, she didn't do anything wrong.
No, I mean, I never really thought that much about the scene, but I think that the
whole
inappropriateness of it was part of the whole point of it. So, I mean, is it assault? Probably. I mean, they're both consenting adults. If he was worried about, you know, catching a venereal disease or something, then a normal person, if they're concerned about that, would
And that's
ask or that's take the precaution key, right? against it.
It wasn't like he thought it was his ex.
Right.
Right. Or something like that. It was this woman. She is this woman. He wanted to sleep with this woman. And he did. He's not happy that she wasn't really into him.
Yeah.
That's what he's really mad about. And so that kind of takes any power out of it being an assault thing anyway. Because he's not actually mad about that. He's upset that it's kind of a bruise to his ego that she was really paid for. And that's the only reason she slept with him.
Right.
Right. That's a different
kind of thing. I also thought there was probably a morality thing about it. Like, we're still, it's 2018 and people still have hangups on sex work.
Yeah. See, so. But I don't. Like, if you're a single person or you're in a relationship where your partner is okay with that, and then fine, whatever you want to do. Like, I don't have a moral problem with that. So that's not going to be an issue for me. It's supposed to be weird because they have a whole argument about it at breakfast, right?
Scrambled eggs,
right?
Yeah. I love the way you said that. My mom, after that movie came out, always called. I said she made scrambled eggs.
That's cute.
Yeah, we had a lot of those things. When I was watching this movie, I realized how many of the things from my childhood that we quoted and like used as general sayings in my household were from this specific movie. It's so weird.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
But it goes back to the whole point is like it wasn't the right thing to do to lie about it. Right. If you want to buy your friend a prostitute, then you tell them that's what you're doing. And if they're still okay with it, great. Right. But it was the dishonesty that's the problem.
But for him, that was obviously something that he'd done with somebody in the past and had a relationship where they did this. You buy next time, I buy next time. And so he, in his mind, it was fine. He obviously has some sort of social disorders going on, whatever they may be.
So another thing we discussed right after the film is because of the way the movie ends, if this movie were to be made now, it would immediately, like, that would set it up for a sequel. It wouldn't just be a standalone film and you just kind of imagine how this guy's life goes on after this. Like, it is a sequel. We would see it in 1 to 2 years later. Cable
guy universe.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Yeah. Like, you're not far off from that. It's true.
But I think when this came out and when it ended that way, I don't think they were gunning for a sequel at all. But yeah, if you see that nowadays, you could easily go, oh, when did Cable Guy 2 come out? You know?
Right.
See, for me, the ending was less to set up a sequel and more just to show that he's really nuts and he's just going to latch on to the next person.
Exactly.
And that was the whole point.
Right. In 96, that's what people were thinking. Yeah, they didn't think there was going to be a sequel.
I'm just saying that now, a scene like that at the end of a film means they're trying to get a sequel.
It would have been a post-credit scene.
Yes. It would have been you're absolutely right. You would have had the nice ending, go to credits, and then at the end of the credits, it would have cut to the helicopter, right? Yeah. Like, that's what it would be.
Yeah.
If this was a Marvel movie, right? Like, that's exactly what
any movie. Any movie would be a post-credit scene now.
Yeah, then there'd be the post-credit scene where Matthew Broderick gets home and his cable doesn't work or something like that.
A tree masturbated in his room.
Or like, no, I got it. He's at home, and there's a pamphlet that slides under the door, and it's for Satellite.
Oh, I thought it might be from Korg trying to recruit him.
Cute.
Paper beats
rock. Only if Disney owns the rights to the movie. That's right. I don't know. I didn't look into production. Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Is he incorporating Cable Guy next? Is that it?
I don't know who...
He's going to defeat Thanos?
I'm curious.
He is actually Squirrel Girl.
Right.
This whole time.
I'm okay with that. Jim Carrey can be Squirrel Girl. I'm all right with it. I mean, there's a worse casting choice out there, I'm sure.
Did you like the fight scene with, well, not really a fight scene, the scene with Owen Wilson in the bathroom?
God, that's so bad to watch Owen Wilson get his ass kicked.
But then he almost laughs.
Yeah.
When he's like getting his face powdered and he's doing the hair thing, he like is this close to losing it, and you can tell.
It was a little Jimmy Fallon there for a minute. It's a funny scene because they do set him up as a total ass first, right? So that
sounds like you need to come down and refuel. Yeah. It was like, come on, say a worse line than that. You can't, because that's as bad as it gets.
He's planted in there to just act like a total dick, and then
he does it.
In like 5 minutes, a span of 5 minutes, he doesn't say one nice thing out of his mouth. Nope. Like, he's rude to the wait staff, and you know, that's a huge thing, is if you go on a date and they're rude to the wait staff, you don't date them anymore, and... Gosh, it was insane. So, like, you kind of want him to get his ass kicked, but I remember that being much more violent when I was a kid for some reason. Like, I thought that was a much bigger ass beating, and I'm watching this, and it gets, like, powdered.
Yeah, he doesn't really get that hurt that bad.
Like, why did he keep his mouth on there? He wasn't holding his head on that dryer. Like, he could have spit that out. Like,
he could have just closed his mouth. Like,
I think you've just been desensitized to violence in the 21st century.
Yeah, because he wasn't snapping his fingers and making half of Owen Wilson disappear.
John Wick would have handled that differently. That's all John I'm saying. Would have handled it differently.
True. That's the cable guy versus John Wick. I'd watch it.
Yeah, oh my God. That'd be weird.
Trying to think if there's anything else to touch on. It was interesting. I am curious. The cable van that he has looked a lot like the dog van
in Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber. And I'm wondering if it was the same van.
It might have been, yeah.
I really think it might be. Yeah. I'm pretty confident in that. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But
well, I know the actual dog van still exists. So they didn't repurpose it after that.
Okay.
For anything else. So it's possible they used it for this movie, repurposed it into the dog van, and then that is how it's lived its life.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, it was fun. It was a fun movie. This was something that, you know, I missed. And so that's why we're doing these filler hole reviews, to hopefully find some stuff that
and I feel like we found a gem on this one. Derek seems genuinely enchanted by this movie.
I don't know. Enchanted is the right... I don't know.
Well, you were maybe when you were watching it. It felt fun. Like you said, a time capsule. And there's something about making you feel like you're back in your childhood years, you know. And obviously it did some of that for you, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good time. I liked it. If you haven't seen it, definitely... worse now that you know the whole movie, it's definitely worth seeing. But it was cool.
Enjoy it for the nostalgia while the nostalgia is still nostalgia and not just like really old crap.
Yeah,
my three sons references don't get a lot of laughs these days, and
it wasn't a good Bewitched, show then,
you know, all these other shows. That's actually what gave it away when I was first watching the movie as a kid, because I used to watch Bewitched. He said
Darren Stevens
and Larry Tate, actually, I think was the one that gave it away for me. Because he actually says Larry Tate before
he does.
Darren Stevens. But yeah, when I was a kid, I used to watch a lot of Bewitched. And so that gave it away. Because I didn't know Chip Douglas was. I didn't watch My Three Sons. So that was when I was like, okay, he's stealing TV character names.
Right. Which I thought was cool. Like, I liked that. It was perfectly in character with who they had created here, right? So I thought that made perfect sense. I did like the flashback to his childhood, the idea of the TV being the babysitter, right? Because that's actually a sociological thing that has been talked about.
And in the 90s and 80s, that was a thing. Like, absolutely. That happened,
And earlier, I mean, our parents' generation dealt with that a lot, because the TV was a relatively new thing, and parents could just put their kids in front of the TV while they went and did stuff. And so I liked that was part of his character's background.
Did you like when he got punched and lost his lisp for a second, and then got punched again and it came back?
Yeah. That's something that's, you know, they've done in movies since then.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty funny to see that. I thought that was good. I mean, look, it's a very physical role, you know, and Jim Carrey, at least, used to be the king of that.
Yeah.
Right? That was his thing. That's what made him
a star. I think the medieval times scene was the peak of that in this movie, the peak of the physical comedy for me.
Absolutely.
Although there was a lot of stuff happening in that last scene, too. Although he abducted her with a staple gun, like... You know, he had a staple gun. That's what he was holding to her head.
Like, I had, like, it wasn't an industrial one. It was a normal staple gun. I've had those staples go through my skin. I think I just take the one to my head.
It doesn't feel good? Like, I'm sure the industrial ones wouldn't feel great.
Well, I'm sure that one would actually, like, hurt you. It may even, like, go through a couple layers there. But I think, like, a regular paper one, I'd just take it and, like, leave. I don't think I would be a hostage. But when he's,
like, shooting staples at him, it's like, okay, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, like, part of me, at first I thought, well, maybe it was due to, like, getting a certain rating. But it's rated PG-13, so they weren't trying to go for a PG rating.
I think they were making it kind of ridiculous.
You know, maybe that what it was, that, like, there was no real danger at the end of the day, because he doesn't really want to hurt
anybody.
I don't
think he abducted her. I think he, like, convinced her to go with him, like,
initially
to go see this thing. But then it was like... Oh, Steven's coming, and, you know, then it was forced, obviously.
Well, that was the thing. He puts on the show. That's what it's about, like, because it happens in the movies. Yeah. Well, it's more of just, like, that, and see, I think he even references it, like, how this is, like, it's like a real movie, right? He even, like, says a line like that, and that's the point. I don't think he really wants to hurt anybody, but he wants to live out these fantasies that he spent his entire life watching.
Got to kill the babysitter.
So, right.
Like he says at the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you think the spike was going to be through him?
I assumed if it was, they weren't going to show it.
Jim Carrey actually fought to have the spike go through him. He wanted that to be the end of Chip Douglas, Larry Tate, whatever his name was, Ricky Ricardo.
But then you get the big post-credit scene, you know, where Nick Fury walks out.
We need somebody with your particular set of skills.
The cable's out at Avengers Tower.
Right.
I believe it.
I liked it, though. I thought it was fun. The climax was fun. It was very, it reminded me of a lot of movies of that era, right? Like, you had, you know, Kindergarten Cop, where they're climbing up the big electrical thing right. at the end and stuff like that. It just, it felt very tropey, but that's the whole point.
Right.
Right? The whole point is his character is just built on all of these media tropes.
Yeah.
And so it just, it all felt really
even like the basketball scene is, I mean, any basketball movie, you see the in the 90s, you see the backboard shatter when somebody slam dunks and like doing all this crazy crap. Although, like, the scene where he's trying to stretch out, don't want to pull a hammy.
He's doing right, the wind sprints.
Yeah.
Part of me was like, I bet he just said he would do that as a joke and they just thought it was a good idea.
The scene in Medieval Times when he's putting the chicken, when he asks for his skin and he puts it on his face, yeah. that was all improvised. When you see Matthew Broderick just busting up laughing, that was because yeah. he just improvised that on the spot. And that just shows you that Jim Carrey is, and especially in the 90s, was just a force to be reckoned with at this point. But it's not what people wanted from Jim Carrey at the time. You know, they wanted Ace Ventura. They didn't want something that they couldn't take their kids to see, really.
And he had to really fight to get out of that. Like, he still had to do some really dumb stuff before he got to stretch his skills on Truman Show and Man in the Moon.
Yeah.
And that's where you get
Eternal
to.
Eternal Sunshine, wasn't he in that, too?
Yeah, absolutely. And Truman Show is my favorite Jim Carrey movie. I think it's his best performance.
The Truman Show was the turning point, because it was still a comedy, and it changed the course of his career, because after that, yeah, Eternal Sunshine came, Man on the Moon, Number 23, The Majestic, all these more serious dramatic films came, and it totally changed who he was.
Kick-Ass 2.
Right. I mean, he actually
did have a big transformation right now.
Yeah.
Those movies show that he wasn't just a physical comedy actor.
Right.
He could really have, he had a big range.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, the Number 23 may not be the best horror movie ever written, but his performance is pretty stellar in it.
Yeah.
You know,
he broke typecasting. Good for him.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's going to really finish us up for tonight. I hope you guys enjoy The Cable Guy as much as we did. You can join us next week for our DCEU. We are going to write Shazam. This is kind of a first for us, because so far we have rewritten two films and we have created a new film. And now we're going to write a film that's in production, that's almost done and ready to go. So, you know, we're going to try and guess the future here. So,
yeah, so we started with Man of Steel. We wrote Man of Steel and BVS, and that took us in a different direction. So we wrote Justice League Dark.
Yes. And that took us to Shazam.
It did. So this is our own DC universe. It was originally a DCEU rewrite, but now, I don't know, we need a name for it.
It's kind of become its own
beast. I've been
calling
it our DCEU instead of we rewrite it.
Fill DC's holes.
So yeah, we'll be doing that next week. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Anything else, guys?
I don't think so. I think we should sign
off. We
probably
have some stuff to plug.
Yeah.
I'm sure we do. Well, yeah. So Ray, yours is the next Fill Our Holes review, right?
Yes.
And you get to pick the next one.
I've already had, I have a couple options. I think I know what I'm going with, but okay. We have a few months. I'm going to give us a break on this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Right. Well, we've done three now. So Ray picked Hero. That was our first one. Then I picked the 1960, The Time Machine. And then, of course, tonight's The Cable Guy. So 1996.
And then November and December are very busy months for movie releases. So,
tons of movies.
Yeah,
we're pretty packed out on those
we're
anyway.
We're doing the Daredevil thing. So
that comes out on Friday, right?
So, yeah. Geez. So I don't think that I am putting another one of these on the schedule until January because of that reason.
Okay.
But gives you guys time to watch what I picked.
Yeah.
What I picked is on Netflix, so it'll be easy for everybody to.
Well, if you like these Fill Our Holes reviews, let us know. And let us know if there's any movies out there that you want to have added.
Oh, new idea. Our patrons can have Fill Our Holes.
Oh.
Actually, you know what's funny is I just brought that up to Doc Rav
that's a good
earlier
idea.
This week, because he mentioned, I really want you to watch this movie. And I was like, well, you know, we should do that. And I forgot to mention it to you guys. But he can verify next time he's in chat that I did bring it up to him earlier this week.
Yeah, so we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/heroespodcast. We launched in August our exclusive patron lounge on Slack. So if you're part of our Patreon, there's a tier that gets you into that. It's got all of the hosts on the Heroes Podcast Network. You can talk about whatever you want. As long as you're nice and not a jerk about it, does not have to do with the shows. You can just talk nerd, pop culture, whatever you want. You should check that out. And this is a great idea. I like this. I think we will add this as one of the perks to Patreon. If you hit one of our tiers, then we'll let you pick a Fill Our Holes review. I think that's a good idea. I like that. But you can also find our show at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter or at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. We do this live Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central on Twitch, so you can chat with us. We had a few people in chat tonight, so thank you to everybody who joined us for that. Where can people find you guys?
Buster Props, Facebook and Instagram, and I guess Twitter too, but I don't really ever look at it, so good luck.
I tag him in all kinds of stuff. Nice. I don't. I'm Siren Ray. I am a cosplayer. I am a podcaster, and I share movie reviews and trash talk.
And I am the Star Trek dude. I also host Red Shirts and Runabouts, which is our Star Trek podcast on the Heroes Podcast Network. And Ray has been on the last couple of episodes and will be on at least a couple of more here as we're reviewing the TNG era films. So if you're interested in that, go check out that at Red Shirts Pod. Otherwise, we will catch you guys next week. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.